I'll give it about 30 more seconds, and then I'm going to go ahead and start.
With you.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hi. Miss Maya. Hi, Lily. Yeah.
Hi, Lily. How are you?
Good.
Good. What do you have on your finger? Is that
cicada?
Cicada.
Cool.
I want all the cicadas.
That is so cool, Lily.
Okay. I think we'll go ahead and start. I know it's sometimes we forget, so I'm just going to remind everyone if you can mute yourself, and then we will start. And people, as they come in, they can go ahead and join. So I would like to just go ahead and say I'm so delighted to be here today to be able to talk to everyone about coming back in person. And I wanted to address a couple of the questions and concerns of different families as to why it's taking us a little bit longer versus coming back on the 8th. And I wanted to say that what has been the utmost and tantamount of our school has been that we're keeping the safety and the health of everybody, as well as we want to come back in a successful way. And when I say successful, I want to be sure all the systems are in place so there's not a big hiccup and we can come back without having to shut down again. So what I'd like tonight to do is to kind of talk about what it looks like when we come back, why we've chosen now to come back, and address some of the concerns and the questions, as well as talk about community agreements, specifically to the elementary also, and to each of the classrooms, upper L and the two lower L classrooms. So what I wanted to say is I was waiting, I think we all were originally in July after we had heard with the public mandate that it wasn't really safe to come back until after Labor Day. And we were waiting for some clarification on that, as were many other schools. Even my primary classrooms, we waited because I want to honor each of my staff members and I want them to feel comfortable and coming back and safe. We all have families, we all have extended family. So once this all kind of came about, we met after and we all decided, and I will say this unanimously as a staff, as all the guides of the school, we decided we wanted to come back in person. We recognize that online or distance learning isn't the best avenue. It's a reality of this world right now that we're living in this pandemic. And yet we feel that with the space and what we have at the school, we can come back in a way that is safe for all of our children and our staff members. So I'm just going to kind of go over what that looks like when I'm talking about safety. Then I'm going to talk about some very basics. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about community agreements. And then I'm going to move to addressing some questions. And if questions come up, please post them. And then Jody will at some point let me know. So I know that switching right now from distance learning to in-person, I know that many families have asked, well, you know, you're not going to be offering this on these days, et cetera, et cetera. And I want to say from the bottom of my heart, we are working really hard to be able to come back in person. And it takes a lot of effort. It took a lot of effort for all the staff to figure out how to make the distance learning something that was successful, unique, and not the way it was originally in the spring, because we just had to quickly pivot. So I think that the elementary staff has really provided something that is of quality for all of the families. And having said that, they are working every morning from 8 to 4. just like a normal day, and they're Zooming and doing online lessons. And it is, if you've ever been Zooming for that long, you will recognize it's exhausting. And I know it can be tiring for your children as well. And having said that, that's the reason we're taking a little bit of a break to get ourselves ready to come back in person. So what that's gonna look like is at the beginning of next week and all the rest of next week, we're considering that the children are working just like we are working. They all have work that the guides have given them to continue on in that week until they come for their orientation visits and then the following week. And we have decided as a school, and it's really based on kind of the reality of this pandemic as a school at Cedars. So Cedars has been around for 45 years. The elementary now is almost 16, 17 years. Primary has been there the longest. But as a school, we cannot sustain both distance learning and being in person. We don't have that amount of staff. And most other schools that are doing that, they have staff members, that's all they're doing because it's a full-time job. So having said that, I want to go ahead and relate to everybody that by the beginning of October, October 1st, we will only be doing in-person learning. Until then, we will have check-ins, we will have, there will be recordings, there will be all those other things that can be kind of like, we call it like the, it's the salad bar or the Google platform, that if you as a family don't feel comfortable, then that will still be available. And I sincerely, I hope that you will stay with us. I hope that you will be able to figure this out. But as a school, we have already, and I want to be really frank because I was very frank with primary, we're losing $90,000 a month. We are barely surviving. And one of the caveats of that is just, it's just it's the pandemic. So we've got to come back in person in the most safe and healthy way possible. So I know that there are families that still won't feel comfortable, and those families, I have shared that with me, and you are welcome to also have conversations with me about what that looks like if you still don't feel comfortable in October and what that looks like if you want to return. I want to say that, unfortunately, the reality of this world right now is that I can only have 20 children to a classroom. So I want to be really frank and say that if you don't feel comfortable, but you've had a conversation with me and we've made a decision about that together, those are private and personal conversations. But I am looking to reaching a 20 kids in each classroom, hopefully by October, so that we can sustain this. So I just want to be really clear that we're phasing distance learning out. I know that some families had said that, you know, their child didn't get lessons on certain days, et cetera. If you really actually look at other schools, which I am in communication with almost all the other Montessori schools in town and other private schools, our staff is giving a tremendous amount from morning to late afternoon of lessons to children. It's the reality of what we're all living in. And I know it doesn't fit everybody's scope, and I know that it doesn't fix everything for everyone, but it's what we as a staff have decided we can do. And I feel pretty amazed by Maya and Paige and Nadine. I think they've done an amazing job of creating the distance learning. Having said that, if we have to go back into a mode of families all being offline, I mean, not being in person again, we will continue that right away. We know now how to do it, and it wouldn't take any time. We would just switch right away into gear. So if there becomes, again, a stay-at-home order or one of those, or the cases rise, then we will make those decisions as a team, and we will be able to offer that as well. So one of the things that has come up, and I want to kind of just kind of go over. So elementary is a little bit different than primary in the sense that of our age, there are stages of development, there's social development. So we as a group have met and talked about all the systems and what that looks like when they come. So I'm just going to start from the beginning of the day and kind of walk us through the day and what the systems are and what's already in place. So on arrival and on departure, you will, for a good time period, and I'm not sure how long, you will only be seeing administrative staff. So you'll see myself, you'll see Jody, and you'll see Jean Bowling, who's now in the office. I'm trying to limit the amount of interaction from all of the guides and their coworkers and assistants to just being admin. So you'll see us every morning. We'll do your, like it says in the operational plan, we'll do your temperature check. Your child will get out of the car with their mask on. I'm going to be kind of hard about this. You've got to be wearing your mask when you come through the drive, because we have a very small amount of extra staff. I really need to be sure that I'm safe, Jody's safe, Jean's safe, we're all safe. So we're all wearing masks. I expect all parents to be wearing a mask when you drive through, and I expect your child to be wearing a mask. And having said that, I will do their temperature check. Your child will pop out of the car. If there's a hard time, it could be because I know some children are having anxiety. I understand it's the beginning of school. Then I'm going to ask you just to move up a little bit, and we will take it just like we normally do. We'll work with you as a family to help your child feel more comfortable. But your child will get out. They will sanitize their hands before they ever go up to the classroom, so that when they go to the classroom, they are invited in an old-fashioned normal way, which used to be before COVID, with the teacher greeting them, all of those things. We really want the children to feel as normal as possible. So I don't want kids to have to come back into the room and start to wash their hands again. Those are limited to different times. I want them to sanitize when they get out of the car. There will be somebody watching that. Then they'll walk up. Children who are having a hard time with that can sit on the bench and wait. But I would like to try and make drop off in the morning, and pickup, of course, is a little bit different. But pickup, you will also only see admin staff right now. And when we all feel like we're kind of going in a rhythm and probably into October, and we feel like everybody feels safer, then the teachers or the assistants will also be helping like they used to. So that's how children will enter into the day. The classrooms, we've already, because we have such an amazing space at Cedars, we have the ability, which we have been talking about now for weeks and planning, how to have children 6 feet apart outside, how to create an environment that is safe and sustainable, how they can access their things. We have ordered for every child in the elementary, they have their own pencil bags. They have another bag that goes on the back of their chair that they can put other stuff in that they need to access. So all of those things, folders, paper, all of those things that normally were in a classroom that children would just go and pull from, at this point in time, all of that is being relegated and clearly defined for each child. We have made it so that there are wash stations around the different classrooms, depending on the size. So for Paige's room, for Fig Tree, there are more children in that room. She has the most children in that room. So we're looking at 5 stations. So that's 4 to a station. We're putting in, I would call them they're not stakes, but we're putting in flags that give children the ability to understand 6 feet distance so they can wash their hands. Children will be washing their hands and sanitizing before they pick up a material and then after the material. And I recognize that this is, it's a learned experience, but I do believe this week we've already had primary children on the campus. Once we teach it, children are able to do exactly what we ask, what the expectation is. So we will also have a snack table on each classroom that's outdoors so that the children can still socialize when they're eating their snack the way they used to, take their mask off. It'll be a 6-foot perimeter, right? And that will be a designated area. For lunch, they will all be 6 feet apart. We won't be sharing or commingling with any food. I'm gonna ask parents to be very mindful when you're helping your child decide on what they're gonna bring to school, is that it's something that can go right back into their lunchbox if they don't finish it. We are gonna really try and work on not having so much waste, but also not going in and out and in and out of the classrooms. So when I say a 70-30, I mean that for right now, until we decide and we communicate with you, we're outside 70% of the time. The weather is great. Obviously, it got really cool today, but we're looking towards October. The temps go down. We know that the risk is totally mitigated when people are outside. And I'm expecting everyone and all the children to have their masks on, except for when they're eating or in their mask-free zone, which children can take a break in, or adult can as well, or the snack table. But I think that, I've already witnessed that with the primary children. They kept their masks on both days, the last 2 days. That wasn't even a problem. I think it's more of maybe as parents, we don't want them to do that. And what I would say is there were a couple parents who've asked, when would we let them take their mask off when we're outside? And I'm going to say I'm going to have to determine that based on how successful the opening of the school is, what the cases are in Austin, all of those things. So until there is a date to be determined, we're all wearing our masks, all staff included. You might see me sometimes or some other staff wearing a shield. That would be only when I am, and I'm in the person on the elementary side. Kelly Gerlich is the person on the primary side that would be taking a child if they're sick. That's when we would be wearing our shield. There are certain lessons, and in primary I had this conversation about sounds, that the teachers will take their mask off if needed with a 6-foot distance to be able to give the lesson appropriately. So I just want to be sure that everybody understands that as of right now, we're all wearing masks 100% of the time, except if it's at those particular zones. It's come also up about inclement weather. So if there are thunderstorms like there have been the last couple of days, obviously everybody cannot be outside. Our spaces in each of the classrooms allow us actually to be in there in a very safe way. We've chosen to use the outdoor space as we start the school year right now because it feels safer to every employee that's working there right now, and we can use it. If it becomes inclement weather, and when I mean inclement weather, I mean thunderstorms, or it's really freezing, or it's 100 plus degrees, we have the ability to have children spaced out on the porch as well as children inside. If you are a family that does not feel comfortable with your child being inside, I'm going to ask you to please let me know that. We have our ventilation system, so I wanted to talk about that a little bit too. We are unlike most other school systems in that we have kind of what they quote as an industrial building. In other words, we are isolated. Each building is isolated on its own with its own AC. And we have had an engineer come in. We are using the Merck 13 filters. They are going to be installed in the elementary across ventilation, as well as the window, the doors will be open. The ability for fresh air and circulation will be there. But if you feel as a parent that you don't want your child inside, I would really appreciate it if you let me know that, because for families that don't, I think we probably kind of have like 50-50 families that are okay with their kids being inside in a 6-foot distance and families that are not. And I would also say that there are many families in the elementary that are already, children are playing together. We know that they have seen each other over the summer, all of those things. So those questions will come specifically from your guide in your classroom as to whether you're comfortable with your child being indoors with that particular pod of children, or if you're not, so that we can plan effectively. I also wanted to let everybody know that I know that you've gotten the operational plan, you've gotten the community agreement, but one of the things that I'm planning on doing is anytime a child is sent home for any reason, it can be, and we all know this, I think that our, because we're in COVID times, we are sometimes we're forgetting that there's going to be just normal flu, there's going to be colds, there's going to be allergies, that I will let the classroom know that a child has gone home. So you as a family can decide if you want to wait till you hear whether or not the child has to be tested for COVID, but I will let you know each time a child has to go home. And I'm sure that most of you already have read that in order to come back, I need a doctor's notification that your child is ready and okay to come back. That's gonna be a very adamant policy at the beginning right now of the school year, and it probably will go on for many, many months. One of the other questions that came about sickness, travel, all of those things is, yes, we've asked all of the families to please be mindful in the 2 weeks before we start school of their social distancing and what they're doing, all of those things and trips. And I would say that all of our staff have agreed to the same. Our staff have been very diligent about that. We've had a lot of communication about that. And I expect and honor that each of you, and I hope that you would recognize with all of us, that this has to be a really big trust issue. So in order to have a community agreement, there has to be trust involved. And I am not going to be the police person going after every single thing I hear from parents when I hear something. I'm going to take the information, talk to the family if I hear an information. But I hope that most families will be very open and honest and say, Sarah, we have a trip planned on such and such. And be very forthright, because the only way this is going to work for everybody to come back and feel safe is that we're very honest. One of the things that, unless anybody else here has had a family member who's had COVID, is when my daughter had COVID, it made me feel and our family feel like we were pariahs in a way. And I don't want that for any family. This is a reality of the times, and I think if we're all doing our due diligence and we have those conversations and we're respectful of all the other families, it will make coming back to Cedars very successful. So the community agreement might change over time based on what's going on in society and based on health department mandates, all of those things. It might become more stringent or it might become less stringent based on time. But as of right now, the community agreement stands. A family member asked me if they were to take a trip, could they take a COVID test when they come back? Yes. Most camps, most other schools are doing that. I would have to see the results and I'd have to still have the doctors okay. But absolutely, I'm not expecting families to isolate for the next year. There are, as we all know, this has created there are people of all divide here. We've got people all the way on one spectrum and one the other spectrum. And what we want to do is ensure to the best ability is that what we're offering and what we're allowing at Cedars is what we've all agreed upon in the community agreements. So I'm not telling people you can't go out to eat with your family. That's not part of it at all. It's all about being very mindful. It's about wearing your mask and recognizing that if you bring it to school and you know that you've done all these things and you weren't honest about it, that whole classroom could shut down. So that brings me to another realm of that. We're looking into right now getting, and I know you guys have probably heard about this, but also the ability for us to get tests at the school that parents would pay for. So if an entire classroom, if a child tested positive, we would be able to have everyone test, and parents would have to coop that. I can't at this point right now. I'm hoping if it stays as cheap as we're hoping, then I can encumber that cost. But at this point, I can't. So we would do that, and then that class would continue on. Somebody else asked me also about if a teacher gets sick. So if a teacher gets sick, it's no different than when there are teachers that have gotten sick over all the years that Cedars has been going. We continue on with that classroom. It's most likely right now that it would be me that goes in for that classroom. And I would be in constant contact with that lead guide, and I am certified and I can be in the classroom and I can work with your children, and the assistant is much more equipped than me and would do a wonderful job. It's a reality of when people get sick. I've had staff that have had the flu. I've had staff who lose a family member. And we just have to move forward. It doesn't mean the classroom ends. It means that we're just moving forward. Let me talk a little bit about playground, kind of where we're not constantly monitoring the children in a particular way. What we really want, and we decided this afternoon as a staff, is if I am going to dictate that all the children stay 6 feet apart when they're playing, there is going to be no natural play anymore. And we feel as a school that coming back, if we're coming back, we're already putting all these other precautions into place, and that it's time for children to have some kind of normalcy. So before entering the playground, children will have sanitized. They will sanitize when they come back. And having said that, there is no commingling of the classrooms anymore right now. Each classroom has a designated time. The playground will be sanitized, not the wood, but the other areas will be sanitized. Each classroom has chosen certain days that they would have available to them to use the stage, the other areas of the outside, and the other classrooms, it's off limits. So we have already coordinated those kinds of schedules so that we're not overlapping. And unfortunately, then our kids aren't playing together, but we're gonna do that for a long period until we all feel really comfortable and we can manage what's actually happening. Children will be wearing masks at playtime. Even though they're outside, they'll be wearing masks. The ability to go into the woods the way we normally have, I am going to kind of, for a little while, just like with anything, freedoms come as you can show responsibility. So until we feel really comfortable with our group of children, there will also be admin out there during recess time. It will not just be one or two people. There will be more people out every day. Then we can help to understand, figure out what children are needing, where they're trying to also, because let's all be frank, children are going to try and take their masks off and talk. So I need to be able to see them. I need for them to be able to see me. And if they're in the trees right now, which I know is the best part sometimes of Cedars, that's just going to be limited until we all feel, and each in classroom in the community, and it may be community-based, depending on the children. when we feel that we can open up and make it further and further so the children have more room to roam. Balls, all of those things will be specific to each room. So as of right now, there won't be any commingling of the different classrooms. Mr. Braden, who I'm not sure if everybody is aware of who he is, but our wilderness instructor, he will be doing his normal classes the way we always have. They will be in two separate groups. They'll be on Thursdays. And so certain areas of the playground will be completely off limits. Until everyone feels really comfortable, which normally anyways we don't do. We don't go to the clearing, which is our big vast space, because I can't really see all the kids. So until we all feel really comfortable and we think that we're at the next phase, we will be using the playground, the gaga ball pit, the playground structure, all of those things, the stage, as an avenue for the children to be outside. Give me a second here. I'm looking at my notes. Okay. So something else that a couple of families have asked is with the community agreement, how would I address that? And I know I mentioned it a little while ago and I said that I don't want to be the police, but I do want to really emphasize that if I find or we find that a family is not adhering and not being honest and frank with us, I will ask you not to come back for 14 days. Or I might ask you to leave. This is a time where we really have to trust one another. And even as a staff, that has, from March till now, that there have been waves because we all are at this in a different way and we're all in a different place in this in the spectrum. But I cannot have, truthfully, and I hope that this never happens, but I really hope that everybody adheres to the agreements and is honest. And if your child is sick in any way, shape, or form, that you keep your child home. It is a, we laugh about it as staff, but not anymore, about how many parents have sent their child to school when we hear their child threw up the night before, or had a fever and their parent gave them Advil to come to school. This is a time where that cannot happen. It really cannot. So if that is something that I find out and hear, I will have a direct conversation with you as a family member. And I will also have to let the rest of that class know that the child came sick. So let's work together. I know we can do this. I think that everyone that's on this tonight, you guys have stuck with us there. We have some new families too, but I believe that we all want to come back. I think that we want to do it in the safest way possible. And I certainly do not want to have to shut a classroom down. I want us to be able to come back and sustain this through the winter. Jody, are there any questions?
Yes. Okay. A lot of questions were about pods. Could you talk a little more about assignments, separation, and will classroom pods mix on playground? We'll start with that one.
Okay. So we have decided pods were actually an original conversation in the past, but pods are recommended for certain types of schools and there's certain type of environment. But we have decided, because we are having children outdoors 70%+ of the time, that our children and most of our classes, the only class that has 20 is Pages or Fig Tree, that we will be commingling. And so there won't be a delineation of one side or one group of children at this point in time. That has been also relayed to me. I've talked to people at Austin Public Health Department about that, based on also what we have available. But also, I want everybody to think about this for a second. Most of those recommendations are based on public schools where they have children from each classroom of the same age. If I take a whole group of children that they're all beginning cycles, let's just say fourth graders, they never have that opportunity then to mingle with some of the older children, which is the whole beauty of Montessori. And lessons are generally ability-based. And so as of right now, we have decided as a group that we are going to not have pods. Does that mean that there are certain children that only use one bathroom, certain children that use the other bathroom, that each wash station is designated to different children? Absolutely. There are lots of other systems in place. But because we are outdoors and we're in a bigger environment, we didn't feel that we needed to do that for safety.
Okay. Next question. What would cause the school to shut down again? Like, what guidelines are you following?
Well, I would follow the Austin public mandate, health mandate. I'd follow TEA and obviously Texas state guidelines. But if we had a big percentage of children or we had a big outbreak at our school, the whole thing is Austin Public Health has to come to our school no matter what. So if you've read actually the guidelines and how that works, no matter what, when a child has to go home and we think they might have COVID, I have to report it. They come out and they tell us what we think we need to do. If we have to shut down, if I have to shut down a whole classroom, that classroom will go right away to distance learning again. If I have to shut down a whole school, which I don't anticipate that anymore. But if we have to do that, that would also, we'd also just go back to distance learning.
All right, can you talk about the, someone has something else?
No, I was just gonna say, and if a child in one room is sick, the other child of the sibling, they both go home. And so it's not just the one child that goes home. And they will both have to have a doctor's note to be able to return. And when I say a doctor's note, I mean, it can be something off of a portal like I have with my daughter, where my doctor just wrote, she can return back to such and such, and I just printed it off. It doesn't have to be that you're going into the doctor's office and having a doctor sign and everything, okay? It's more of, I want to be sure that you are communicating with a professional. I'm not a health professional. And we need to know whether or not it's might be COVID, whether it could just be the flu, whether it could be just anything. Their children get ailments all the time, and we're going into that season where kids are going to be sick. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's always COVID, by far.
So there still seems to be questions about shutting down though. So like specifically, if Austin goes back to stage 4, will you shut down? Is it a certain number of cases that shut down? Is it just Austin, if somebody has COVID-ed, then you decide based on the recommendations from Austin Public Health?
That's a good question, Joe.
I'm reading the questions.
Okay. If we go back to stage 4, we'll have a conversation as a community, because I think there are going to be a lot of families that don't feel comfortable in coming back. I have to take everything day by day. I can't look at 2 weeks from now and say, this is how we're going to do it. Primary children are considered essential, and I could have them go as long as I wanted, but I didn't because I wanted to honor my teachers. I'm going to also honor my teachers and the rest of our community when we make those decisions. We're going to make the decision based on all the information we have at the time of when it's disseminated. So I can't give a declarative, yes, we'll absolutely shut down if Austin goes back to stage 4. If Austin goes back to stage 4, but in our school is running and we're feeling smooth and we haven't had any cases, there's no reason for us to shut down. If we get a public mandate that says all schools should go back to shutting down, I'm going to have to consider that, and we're going to have to probably shut down. I mean, there are reasons. I'm not a health professional. So I do take all of what everybody says, but it's not just one entity, it's many different entities. Next question.
Thank you, Sarah. Can you talk about the financial viability of the school, and is there a possibility the school would close?
Well, we've never seen anything like this. So the pandemic has put, and it's put most people and most small businesses. We are a mom and pop shop. We're not a nonprofit school. We don't take in $50,000 or $100,000 in funds and donations from families. We also are the school that doesn't charge as much tuition. And so we are definitely hurting. And I'm very frank about that. I'm frank with the staff about that. And what I'm trying to continue with as long as we can at this point is I want my staff to keep their salaries so that they can continue to have their life. And I do believe in my heart of hearts that by October, mid-October, November, things will start get better. Because the reality is that we all have to live with this. This isn't going away. And I'm sure you guys know that, but it's not going away. The reality is COVID is here. It has impacted everyone's lives, as schools especially, and small businesses. And we're working very hard to keep us running. I have let a lot of people go, not just two staff members, but their other staff. So I'm not even able right now to hire aftercare because I don't have the ability and the funds to do it because there's only 2 to 4 families that really need it. And I just can't do it right now. Do I think that I can in October? I actually do. But the reality is this is a result of the pandemic. So the owners are very committed. They've had this business for 45 years. We want everyone to continue. We could have already folded. Our primary is the smallest group we've ever had. We usually have 90 children in primary. I've got about 20. So that gives you an idea of what we have. Elementary is actually doing much better. And I think that has to do a lot with distance learning and that children are a little more capable of being able to do that. But we are committed and we want to keep going. This is our livelihood too. Every one of us that's on this, you know, today, it's my livelihood. It's what I've been working for over 15 years. So we've all taken a bit of a break and a hard hit. And I'm hoping that in time, people will feel more comfortable and come back.
Thank you. Can you talk a little more about if a child is sick during the day and when they're sent home and how much information is shared?
Okay. So if a child is sick, I'm the person that will pick the child up with my lovely face shield, all my accoutrements that I'll be wearing, and they will be taken to a specific area. We have it's called a pod, but it's only going to be for children that are sick at any kind of sickness. So a family will then be called to come pick their child up. I will relate that to that classroom that a child went home sick. I'm going to, then after that, we're just gonna have to wait probably for within 24 hours to find out what kind of sickness it is because it could be any kind of sickness. So that would be another part of me wanting families to recognize that this is an imperative time where if your child does come home sick, that even if you just communicate with your doctor or you communicate with the nurse or the PA or what have you about their symptoms so that I get more information. Because as of the minute they go home, I would be letting all the families in that classroom know that that someone has gone home sick. And I would give the symptoms of what they've had, but that's all I'm going to be able to give because it's private, and it may not have anything to do with COVID. So we'll have to just wait. There's no other school I know that shuts a classroom down right now because a child goes home sick. We have to give it a little bit of time. One of the caveats of all of this is there are a lot of schools that are not requiring masks. We are, and we know this is airborne. We know it's an aerosol. We know this already. There's so much more information out there. So what we can at least understand in all of this is that if our children are wearing masks all day long and our staff are wearing masks, we are definitely more protected. And I should also say that cleaning will happen. And when I say cleaning, I'm using something called Forces of Nature, which I can send a link to all the families. But it is used by almost every Montessori school around because it doesn't ruin a lot of the materials since so many of our materials are so beautiful. It will be used midday, lunchtime, and then it will be used again at the end of the day. And then the cleaning stuff that I'm going to be using on the playground isn't quite so, it's more heavy duty because the Forces of Nature is very expensive. And I should say that as a school, we've already spent almost $5,000 to $6,000 just in getting all the classrooms ready with PPP, with all of the other things that we're trying to do in order to come back safely. And we do take it very seriously, and that's the reason it's taking us maybe a little bit longer than some people anticipated. But in order to come back and do it diligently and be sure we have everything we feel we need, that's why that's what the time frame. And the reason I did primary first, and primary and elementary children are not commingling, but I did primary first because primary can come back earlier. They could have come back already weeks and weeks ago. We wanted to see how that went, then stagger in the elementary so that I can be sure that we're covering all the bases and everybody feels safe as we come back.
All right, we have about 10 minutes left, and right now we have a question about what happens Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
And what about the library?
Okay, so let me say about the library. The library will be closed except for to the staff. So what our plan is right now, so different materials that are coming out of the classroom. So for example, encyclopedias, things that are of high use and high volume will be brought outside onto the porches for children to access. So children are not having to go in and out and in and out. Books that children want from the library, we will get those books for them. When they are returned, they will sit for 24 hours. We have a space for that, for 24 hours before they're reshelved to ensure that it's safe. But classrooms will each, and if children are really interested in a book, they're the assistant, myself, admin, there are, all of us can help to facilitate that. That's part of what we're planning on doing. What we're probably going to do a little bit more of is go to the library, bring a collection of books into the classroom or onto those outside areas so that children have access to them right away. Children can always bring their own book. We actually had this conversation. That would be something that obviously comes and goes in their bag. And they are books that have to be decided also by lower L and upper L that are appropriate, but those books can come back and forth. That's not the problem. It's just the books from the library that we'll have to sanitize and keep out of, I don't know what's the word, rotation for at least 24 hours after they've used them. And I probably should say this too. So when I'm thinking about books and things, I'm going to say this too. I know that in the past, all of our elementary classrooms have gotten to use the forks and the knives and all of those things in their lunch boxes. I'm going to really ask parents, this is really imperative here. Please make sure that your child, when they come to school with their lunches, they have everything available in their lunchbox to have their lunch. I really don't want to have to micromanage all the different utensils, etc., and the cleaning at this point. There's just so much going on that is not something that should be taking up any of our staff's time. And if your child forgets to bring their fork and they have spaghetti, of course we're going to give them a fork. But I'm really going to ask parents to be very mindful of that as we start the school year off. And once that decreases, I'm hoping one day, then we can maybe get back to a different method in that way. Next question.
Okay, what about siblings, primary and elementary drop-off, which I think that was a big question for primary too. Can you drop?
Okay. Well, yeah. Elementary, so as of right now, because the amount of children is so low comparatively in the past, elementary, you're going to drop off first, and then you're going to go through the other drive for primary. Primary has only got 20-something kids. It's not going to take very long. I'm not going to have children that right now walking all around the campus. I need children to be dropped off. I need to see that they've sanitized their hands. I need to see that they walk right into the classroom.
Okay, and then, so before orientation visits begin and class starts full time, Monday and Tuesday, you had mentioned that there's a lot of work that the children are still going to be doing and it's not a break for them. Monday and Tuesday is not a day off for the kids. Can you talk more about that schedule for Monday and Tuesday before orientation?
Sure. And I would say that if you have questions about that as a parent, you should contact your guide specifically. If you don't know if your child's supposed to be working, but all the children have work that they are given every day that they're supposed to be following up on, just like in a normal week cycle, Monday and Tuesday, all of us and the guides, the assistants, myself, Jody, Jean, we are working to get everything up and running so that when you show up on Wednesday, so we're working. And we know that the children have work to do. So if you have specific questions about what your child is supposed to be doing, please send that directly to your classroom. We've had a long conversation about it. They all feel very secure in that their children all have things to follow up on, just like at any other time of the year. And that's what we are expecting them to do on Monday and Tuesday.
So to confirm, there is no online instruction Monday and Tuesday, but there are expectations which the guides will let each family know what those are.
Yes.
Can I jump in here? Because we keep saying Monday and Tuesday. Monday and Tuesday, all elementary children are working at home without Zoom sessions. Wednesday and Thursday, beginning cycles are in person 9 to 1. So that means those returning students, Wednesday and Thursday is also a work at home day for them. Fridays, returning students come a longer day, 9 to 3. That means the beginning cycles also have Friday as their work day. So it's not just Monday and Tuesday. So for returning students, it's Monday through Thursday. They are working at home, no Zoom sessions. They come to school Friday. Okay, so just to be clear that that's not just a Monday, Tuesday. It depends on your child's cycle, on which days they're working from home and which days they're in orientation. It's just no Zoom lessons and active meetings because we're either preparing the environment, continuing to do so, or we're active with the people that are in person in orientation.
Thank you, Nadine.
Thank you, Nadine, for clarifying. I also wanted to let you know that Paige and I agree that on Monday, we're going to have a short community meeting at 8:30 to be able to announce to the children that we're going to come back. We were planning on doing so today, but because you all didn't have all the information, we decided to wait so that they can get the information from home, and then we can explain a little bit more with them, or they can ask us questions. So we will have lower L, we will have a meeting early in the morning on Monday, and that will be, and then we'll also direct them to what they have to do or remind them what all the things they have to do while they cannot come to school until orientation.
And for upper elementary, we have a community meeting every Friday morning, and then we have our literature circles. And so on Friday morning, tomorrow morning, at our community meeting, during our future plans and announcements portion, I'll be talking about returning to orientation the following week. I'll be talking about what their expectations are when while they're at home working. Now, what that means for you families that have some children in upper L and some in early L and having those cross announcements and stuff, I'll let you manage and negotiate that.
All right. It is 5:58, Sarah.
Okay. Is there any other question that's not been answered that seems pressing at this point?
No. Let's see. Logistical questions for next week, but I don't think there's anything right now in the scope of this meeting.
Okay. So what I would say is, like, at any time, we've talked about this before, you reach out to me, let me know your thoughts, ask questions, ask directly to your classroom, to your lead guides. We are so looking forward to coming back, and I probably should have prefaced that at the beginning, that we are miss the voices of children. I had this, I have a new puppy, and I came, the other day I was at school, and Nadine was talking with some beginning cycles who are fourth graders, who I've known for years, and I got the opportunity just to say hi, and it was just so lovely. It was Robin, Owen, and I can't remember now who the other one was, but we need to see your children. We miss your children. The reason that we are choosing, and I want to say this really emphatically, we all recognize the risk that we are also taking. We are essential workers in this. Each one of us has had to come to this point and recognize that what the duty and what we have chosen to do as our profession requires us and impedes us to want to be with children. And we do not take this lightly, not one single person on the campus, but it is the calling of working with children. And I know that for some, it might have taken a little longer for us to say that we're finally coming back at this time, but it had to be the right time that we decided as a group and that we make sure that it's successful for everyone. So when you see us this next week at orientation, you will see me, you'll see Jody, you'll see Jean. You might see Pat up with Maya. We're trying to figure all that out right now, but you will see us all. And I so look forward to seeing your children. I look forward to seeing and hearing the laughter, the conversation, the chatter, the banter, whatever you want to call it, that our school has been void of since March. And we're getting the campus ready. I'm hoping that children, and I think they are, because I had a wonderful experience a couple of weeks ago when Paige and Maya had their introductions with new children that were coming. And I have to just say, there's a little boy, Elliot Heath, who is just adorable, who was just brimming with excitement to come back to school. And that's, I think, how we feel. I think that we all really want to be back. Do I think that this could be at times emotional? All of those things, absolutely. Many of us are giving up seeing our families. I'm giving up seeing my parents that are 80 years old. Nadine is giving up seeing her mother. We're all giving something up to be able to come back in this way. So I hope that you recognize that and know that we don't take this lightly. We really want to come back in the safest way possible and be with your children. And I think we all recognize, I think otherwise you wouldn't be here, is our children need this emotional and social and academic development at this time in their lives, and it's time to come back. Somebody said to me a couple of weeks ago, we're living with this, so we've got to figure out how to live with this and move forward. And I think that we have decided that, and we feel really great about it. So I want to thank everybody for tonight. If you have any other questions, please feel free to email me. What I do want to say before I jump off is I recognize that the community feel is kind of gone in a certain way because we're Zooming, we're not in person, we're not sitting together. So one of the things that I would like to do is I would like to, and I'm planning on inviting you to what I'm gonna call a fireside chat, but it's gonna actually be at Cedars with a fire pit, if it's cool enough. And it's a classroom and we're all 6 feet distance. We can talk as parents and as educators, each classroom separately, how things are going. We can have parent nights that way. We will also offer it in different ways, but I do think it's important for us as a community to be able to commune with each other and talk and hear about each other, because this is all a very different time. So normally we would do that at happy hours or whatever we're doing. And we finally got to start doing that when this all happened and had those wonderful moments on the playground, on the elementary playground. But I've been thinking about it and I've thought about each classroom. I can totally do that. And we can have we can call it a fireside chat. And we can meet, and whether it's a parent night or whether it's also just a community conversation that might just be led by me. I'm looking forward to that, and you will be getting that kind of information in the next week to 2 weeks.
Great. And Nadine is raising her hand over there.
Okay. Hi. And this is just to preface that what I'm about to say or ask is completely unplanned. It was not expected. It is not meant to open the door of Pandora's box in any way for Paige or Maya or Sarah. So Sarah, you can say, yes, go for that. Or no, let's do that another way. And this is not about Paige or Maya whatsoever. And I am expecting that they not follow my lead. But
what are you about to say?
Yes. Would it be possible for any Rockwood parents, right after this, after we say goodbye, if you have some immediate pressing logistical questions or that about Rockwood specific, that I could go to a breakout room and talk with you? The idea would be that I personally have a window right now. That doesn't mean anybody else does, but I have a little bit of a window right now. And I think it would also save you from long types, scheduling new conferences, and also sending a bunch of questions to Sarah that are really about like really Rockwood kind of specific. So Sarah, what's your thought about that as an invitation just for a Rockwood family if they want to ask me questions?
I think that's great. Maya says it's great. Paige says it's great.
Okay. So then as we say goodbye, you're not intended to come, you're not obligated to come, but if Jody makes breakout room and you want to come in there to like Rockwood's room or Fig Tree's room, I'm open to stay, you know, 15, 20 minutes or so and just do some Rockwood specifics.
I think that's right.
And Sarah, thank you. You covered so much ground and I just want to recognize you for your work and thank you.
Thank you.
I have to learn how to do a breakout room.
You gotta learn?
I don't know how to do a breakout room.
I can tell you.
Okay.
At the bottom of your host screen.
Yes.
Breakouts. Okay, so listen. So are we doing one for each room?
Wait, I don't see anything that says breakouts at the bottom.
We can just go. There's a suggestion that could work is that we can go into our own rooms and open a Zoom meeting right now, if that is easier.
Yeah, we could do that. So,
somebody just said we could just do our classroom Zoom links.
So after we sign off from here, I'll sign into Rockwood's room. But if you're not okay, sure, get in there, stay on here real quick and let me know, and I'll tell you, or I'll send the invite. Sarah, not easy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay. We're happy.
Okay. I'm not going to end the meeting until I know everyone's where they need to be. So
thanks, Sarah.
Don't stress anybody.
Okay, I don't see any Rockwood folks, so I'm gonna end out. Oh, I see Wayne. I'm gonna end out and go, oh, and I see the Brattons and Michael, Dr. Mike. I'm gonna close out and go open Rockwood's room unless you, Wayne or Mike, you have a question. Okay, Wayne, okay, thanks, Jody.
Does anyone else need help getting anywhere? Okay, I'm gonna end the meeting. Bye-bye.